Welcome to the Ed Dye Horror and Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Dye. And this is episode 73. We're going to be talking about haunted Wisconsin, specifically Kerryville. But before we get to that, let's get to some little bit of news here, there, and everywhere in the world of horror and paranormal. Starting off, right off the bat, actually is Paranormal Investigating. I actually know a couple of different groups of paranormal investigators here in the area, and I've met a couple of people from other parts of the country. But I've recently had a friend of mine hit me up and express interest in possibly putting together a paranormal investigation team. Like I said, there's already teams in my area, and I have done a few investigations with one of them. I'm not sure what my friend's plans would be. It's funny because in telling other people, I've come to realize that many people I know are interested in doing this. Many people watch the shows, but actually I have a group of people I'm actually friends with who actually do want to do this. I'm not sure how far many of them will go. I don't know if any who will chicken out here and there, but it's interesting to see that I do have a group of people that I probably could put a team together of my own if I really wanted to. Some just want me to go ahead and do it so they can see the investigations from my point of view, because apparently I have an interesting take on things, and just my wording on things apparently is entertaining. I'm assuming you people know, because that's why you're listening to the podcast. It's a strong maybe, I'll be honest, especially since I have been approached by multiple people asking me not to do an investigation team, but actually I've been approached by people to investigate places for them. I actually have a list of people who have come up to me or friends of mine to get a hold of me who want me to come and do an investigation either at their work home or a family member's work or home. It's interesting. I probably do have a good list of places I could do if it's something I do decide to pursue. So just keep an eye out on the social media, on my social media and everything. I'll let you guys know if I do something. I mean, it might not be a consistent all the time thing, but it is something that I am open to, so I'm gonna have to talk with some of my friends and see what do they want to do. And as far as that social media, if you guys want to get a hold of anything for the podcast, Facebook and Twitter, just hit us up, Ed Dye Podcast. If you want to get a hold of me directly, it's different. On Facebook and on Twitter is the handle is Ed Dye Dead. And that also goes for Instagram, is Ed Dye Dead on Instagram. You can check out some of the pictures and posts I do, some of the stuff where I do the Ed Dye horror theater, where I'm watching some of the movies and just give you my quick opinion on some of the movies, like little one paragraph movie reviews of all the types of movies. But anyway, moving on, speaking of movies, somebody that's been in a lot of movies, especially horror movies, has passed away. Actor Dick Miller passed away on January 30th, 2019. Now, while many of you guys might not know him by name, you probably definitely know him by face. He appeared in over 100 films, a good many of them being horror ones, where he often played a victim, where he yelled a lot, and this gained him the title of Scream King, like the male equivalent to a Scream Queen. And he's probably, for many people, the original Scream King, since he's been doing it for so long. Two of the movies many of you would know him from is actually Gremlins 1 and 2, where he played the old man who feels played by the little creatures. Other horror movies include Bucket of Blood, The Burbs. Now, bear with me. This is a list here. The Burbs, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Night, The Howling, Chopping Mall. Interestingly enough, Little Shop of Horrors, both the 60s and the 80s version, Night of the Creeps, and many more. Not all his films were horror, though. He also appeared in The Terminator, Big Bad Mama, Pulp Fiction, and the famous Rock and Roll High School. He was a character actor that always left his mark in the films. If you saw him in a film, you usually do remember what he was doing and his character in the film. He was so well known that actually in 2014, a documentary was made about him called That Guy Miller, that follows his six-decade spanning career. I believe it was on Netflix for a short while. If you guys can easily just look it up, just type in That Guy Miller. You'll get That Guy Dick Miller. You'll definitely get things about just him in general, but you should get the documentary and be able to watch it. It should be an interesting watch. I haven't watched it myself, but it is on my to watch list. Another bit of news, and this is quite interesting. Many of you out there might remember the book series that was put out back in the day when we were kids called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. For a while now, we've been waiting for the movie adaptation to come out. And finally, the poster art for the film was released, and it looks promising. The film's produced by Guillermo del Toro, CBS Films, and Lionsgate, and has a release date for August 9th of this year. So you just got to wait for the summer. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark film adaptation is said to be a very dark interpretation, apparently. Because, like I said, the books were meant for kids, but I don't think the movie, it looks like it's going to lend itself well for all kids to watch. As far as I see it, at this time, the movie actually has no rating. They might be going for a PG-13 rating, or it might even be an R rating. But from what I've seen from the trailers, you've got something pretty scary going on there. The poster for the movie actually shows the dark field up. When we're up in the front, we can see the spooky looking Harold the Scarecrow from one of the stories. The story is said to be about a group of young teens who must solve the mystery surrounding sudden and macabre deaths in their small town. So it looks like they're tying a lot of the short stories from the books as one large story, which is pretty cool. Instead of making it, I guess what many would expect to be just a bunch of short movies as one. Multiple teaser trailers have been released showing hints at various stories from the book series, like the one with the chubby girl, and forgive me because I do not remember the name of the character, the girl with the growth on her face, and the main one seems to have been the Scarecrow. And there's a couple other trailers. I'll put a link. If you go to the website, isedidead.com, you'll be able to see the link. I'll put the link there for so you can watch. It's actually, I believe, two or three trailers in one, because they've been putting little teaser trailers. They've been about less than a minute long. So this, I found one that has a couple of them, so you get an idea of what to expect, because this does not look like it's meant for little kids. I hope it comes out. I hope it's good. With the Guillermo del Toro actually producing it, not directing it, and there's a list of other people working on it. So, like I said, promising, just don't fuck it up. All right, on to the main part of the today's episode. We're talking about Kerryville in Wisconsin. Kerryville, Wisconsin is believed by many to be one of the most haunted towns in the Midwest. Some of the stories include a vicious ghost hound, a ghost boy in a school, and a hanging man in a church tower. While the stories make for great tales and have brought many would-be ghost hunters to town, the residents are actually kind of fed up with the paranormal tourism and say that the stories are just that, stories. If you look up photos of Kerryville online, you'll find beautiful images of what many imagine the United States heartland to be. The images actually bring up thoughts of John Cougar Mellencamp's song, Ain't That America, to mind. It's got long roads, farms, silos, old country houses. It's kind of like if you ever watched Smallville, it's like where Clark Kent grew up, quite honestly. As much as that sounds funny and can be a joke, I'm being very serious. But what are these awesome tales that people that are bringing people to this town to investigate these supposed hauntings? True or not, here are some of the catching stories that are grabbing people's attention and causing them to drive out of their way and find out what the hell is going on. So the first story, and this is one of the more famous ones too. One story is that of a ghost boy who haunts the classroom at an abandoned schoolhouse. It's said that if you sit at his desk, you can feel his presence or even feel his spirit pass through your body. Whether or not that's something you want to feel, and I'm sure there's many of you out there who probably wouldn't mind feeling a schoolboy in their body. Ew! But the reason that he's there is actually a pretty sad one. As the story goes, he didn't want to go home one night to his drunken, abusive father and decided to hide out in the closet in school until everyone went home. Once everyone was gone, they say he stepped out of his desk and proceeded to stay the night at the school. Unfortunately, it was the middle of winter and the school had no heat. And it said that the boy froze to death at his desk, where he was found in the morning by his teacher. Now, What's interestingly enough, there's no specific date as to when this happened. There's no listing as to if this was like the 1800s, the 1922. There's no real word, which is, and if you look up, you can actually look up pictures of the town and you'll find pictures of the church and the school, because they're actually across the street from each other, and the church we'll get to in a minute. But you can see they're very old school. I don't want to say colonial, but it looks like maybe post-colonial type of structures. Well, they say if one that, you know, if you sit at his desk, you'll feel his presence and you'll feel him go through you. Now, that's interesting enough, but what does it feel like to have a spirit actually go through you? I've heard many people say it's like a sudden chill that goes through you. Now, interestingly enough, because he died of freezing to death, I guess what you would say hypothermia, is his spirit extra chilly or even like super cold when it goes through you? I'm curious. Now, from what I've looked up, it's interesting because people say that this is what happens, but there's no case where anyone actually says, yeah, I sat there and I felt it. It all seems to be like lore, but no one can actually say that they've gone through it. Like, there's no one to corroborate the story. There's just people saying that there is such a story. Some accounts even say that the piano in the school is heard to be being played, and that if you go over to it, you can actually see the keys move. Well, according to ghost hunters Chad Lewis and Terry Fisk, they found no evidence after doing an investigation at the school. They also couldn't find any records of a boy dying at the school. The only record of a student dying who was attending the school was that back in the 1950s of a boy who died of polio, but it said he died at the hospital. But interestingly enough, another article I was reading actually mentions that there's a boy who died also in the 1950s, not of polio, but of an infection. He had stepped on a rusty nail. I guess, you know, he got a little lockjaw, couldn't say nothing and died. But interestingly enough, also, according to Joanne Austin, author of the book Weird Hauntings, True Tales of Ghostly Places, during her visit to the school with friends, one of the people in her party said they saw a pair of red glowing eyes looking at them from through the window from the school. Now, when she went there, and it's funny because this author actually went to a couple of places, and they didn't really... They went to investigate, but kind of chickened out. Now, what's interesting enough about the red pair of eyes is no other story mentions a red pair of eyes that has to do with the boy, but there is another haunting in town that has to do with red pair of eyes, and we'll get to that, though. Now, across the street from the school, directly across the street, literally, is another case of a haunting, this one being at the church, as I mentioned before. As the story goes, the priest who presided over the church lost it, basically went nutsoid when he learned about plans to demolish the church in order to build a new one. Now, this priest, I guess, must have really loved the original building because they didn't say they're getting rid of it and that's it, you're out of a job. They're just replacing the church, getting rid of the old one and bringing in a new one. I guess he must have been really, really attached to the church building and was willing to die for it because he did. They say he went up to the bell tower of the small church and hung himself in the belfry. Although interesting, another account says that he did it when he was told that they were going to sell the school across the street, which it seems was tied to the church, as many schools were back in the day. Well, whatever the reason for the suicide, they say at night in the new, you can see his body hanging in the belfry of the new church. Now there's actually a window. So they say it's through the window. You can kind of see his body, I guess, hanging there. So I guess they went along with their plans and they built a new building even after he killed himself. I guess, can you just cut down the body and move it? We'll keep going. Whatever. He's a priest. He shouldn't have done that. He in hell now. No. Maybe. I don't know. But following the investigation, Fisk said that we haven't found any scientific evidence for these two places to being haunted. So Chad Lewis and Terry Fisk, the paranormal investigators, went to both places, found nothing. Which doesn't mean it's not haunted. It could just mean the ghost didn't want to do shit for you. Who are you? You know, you can walk into a place. That doesn't mean they're going to do stuff for you. You can leave a place and they might just do it as soon as you leave when you're not recording. They can be tricksy little devils like that. Anyway, down the road from the first two sites is the haunted bridge where they say the prom queen found her watery death. Now, this sounds like the kind of story you could probably find just about any place in America, but here, apparently, it's a strong story, and it kind of ties into another one or two stories, too. It's a simple enough story of a girl named Jenny who had too much to drink. She lost control of her red truck and plummeted off the side of the bridge and died in the waters below. So how does she haunt the area? Well, it's said that if you look off the bridge into the water, it's not her you'll see look up and up at you, but you'll see the phantom headlights of the car shining back at you through the water. Creepy, because, you know, there really shouldn't be a car with its lights on in the water looking up at you. They also say her ghost can appear on the road and plays chicken with other cars. It's actually not her, but her ghost car, the truck itself. People say that they see the truck appear and come and drive at them, and the truck will apparently disappear right before the point of impact. While Lewis and Fisk say they found no evidence or records of such a crash or death, Joanne Austin, the author of the book, had a whole other experience. Upon her visit to the bridge, as they drove down, they looked around and they were driving. The driver noticed a large truck in their rearview mirror coming up behind them with its headlights turned off, actually. When he told the rest of the group, they turned and looked behind them in the car, and they also saw the truck coming up behind them and with its lights off. The only way they would even notice it is because there was a bright enough moon out that the moon lit the truck enough that they could actually see in and make out the truck in the dark. The truck came speeding right up at them, and suddenly, when it was getting close enough to hit them, it suddenly turned its headlights on a full blast, blinding them. As they yelled in fear, once with the light coming on, they all screamed, and when they looked back, the truck was gone. The lights had disappeared, and the truck was gone. Now, according to Joanne, they said the truck hadn't U-turned. There's no space on the road. It's a small dirt road. There's no space for the truck to U-turn. It didn't go in reverse because it's a fairly long road. They would have seen it still backing up away from them. There's no room on it for it to driven off the road, being that the side of the roads is all woods. So is it possible that Jenny the prom queen came up on this author? They should have been recording it, not just writing, but you should have been filming something. Well, there's one point for ghosts so far. Another place in town. Now, this is interesting because the stories for this place kind of waver and wander a little bit here and there. And it kind of has a dual story to it. But the place is not necessarily in town. It's kind of out of town, but in town. Let me explain. It's the Meridian Boat Landing, which is basically a small island just off the coast of the mainland, and it's located on the banks of the Chippewa River. Now, the landing, being that it's a small island, it's just a little spot in the middle of the river, gets its name. It's called the Mary Dean, but it gets its name supposedly from Mary Dean, a little girl who is said to have died there. From the landing, from the main shore, you can see the small island. And supposedly there was an asylum there once, but that's its own another paranormal story within itself. Anyway, the haunting of the landing comes from the burial of Mary Dean in the nearby area. Apparently, after she passed away while on a ship heading upriver. Now, this is supposedly a little girl. In a loving gesture, the town named the island after her, and they buried her in a tiny wooden coffin beneath a tree on one of the sides of the island. Unfortunately, several years later, her grave was washed away in one of the floods. So what does a ghost of this spot do? What does a ghost do on an island, a small island that just has enough for a couple of houses? Well, some say you can hear her making noise and shouting from the water as if trying to get people to come out and save her, only to have them end up drowning. So she's become sort of a siren, if you know, from like Greek mythology or anything where they sing. If you ever seen the movie Oh Brother, We're Out Thou, the three bitches on the river that turned the guy into a horny toad. That's what I'm talking. That's a siren. So what does the sound of a little girl in the middle of the night yelling for help sound like? I'd say creepy as hell. I'm not that great of a swimmer, And if I hear a little girl drowning in the middle of the night in a river where supposedly other people have drowned, I'm sorry, girl. You just gonna have to drown. You just give me your name and somebody's number and I'll call them up and be like, yo, listen, she done drowned. Why didn't they save her? I wasn't trying to drown either. Now, what's interesting about this is another story says that Mary Dean was a girl who committed suicide on the island. So that that's a whole different aesthetic. I mean, one story is a little girl dies. Oh, so sad. And apparently she's causing people to drown. But then you can go to the other story where it's a girl who killed herself and now she's pulling other people to come die. That kind of sounds like it makes a little more sense. Well, apparently, after this girl had committed suicide, shortly after her death, three fairies went missing. Fairies that would take people from the small island back to the main shore. That's kind of messed up for, because it's not that long of a boat ride. They say you can see the island easily from the mainland, so you can see the ferry coming at you. So for three fairies to go missing is kind of a paranormal situation right within itself. Well, it was spooky enough and creepy enough that it caused the town to close down the ferry route. And it's said that there have been other teens who died drowning in the immediate area. And all the reports of these kids that drowned were supposedly found to have been suicides. Kind of odd. Consider it's not a common suicide attempting. Most people usually will poison, hang, shoot, wrist. I mean, we can go all day. We can make a list. I mean, I'm talking about put the car in the garage and run the exhaust fumes into the thing and go to take a nap. All you got to deal with is the stanky fumes. But not many people just go, I'm gonna go drown myself. Like, I mean, when you do get people like saying that, it's usually they're talking about, you know, drinking the alcohol, not getting water into their damn lungs. So that maybe does play along with the whole thing about the girl going ahead and calling people into the water to save her or just drown themselves. Spooky. Well, like I said, the island kind of has more reputation than just one story. Because also located on the island is a spot where there was reputed asylum or sanatorium, as they would call it back in the day, once stood. And it said the doctor who ran the asylum was a cruel man who apparently owned a group of large dogs that he would actually use to keep his patients from escaping the asylum. One story even says that the dogs even went out of their way and ate the owner's child, but there was no more information beyond that when I found that little tidbit of news. Now they say that the dogs haunt the area as scary hellhounds, and not just the island. Apparently they do appear on other parts off the island. They say that the dogs can actually be heard running around in a nearby woods or just around you. You'll hear something circling you. They're described as large, shadowy dogs with red glowing eyes. Now, that's what's interesting, because that kind of throws back over to the story of the boy in the schoolhouse. Is it possible that one of the hellhounds was in the school looking back at them, being that they were there investigating multiple ghost stories in one town? Was the dog like, the fuck you doing here? Now, most people say that they hear the howling and growling of these phantom dogs. While the person that saw the red eyes in the schoolhouse didn't hear anything, I mean, they were in their car and it was inside the school, so they were pretty far from each other, so maybe it growled, but they couldn't hear it. And no point in the explanation did they say if they had the music in the car on. So they could have been blasting Iron Maiden and just didn't hear the growling. They maybe just thought it was part of the song. Well, some have even said to have seen the dogs running down Carrieville Road, the road that actually leads to the haunted bridge where Jenny the Prom Queen supposedly haunts. Where there is one or more of these dogs, it seems, whether there's one or more is what I'm saying, it seems that the locals have actually nicknamed it Blackie, because there seems to be, I guess, they're seeing one at a time perhaps, and they seem to have just given this one a name. And they say many have seen a Blackie dart across the road in front of people as they're driving, and not just Kerryville Road, on other roads too. I don't know. What do you think would be scarier, seeing it just run across the road or coming down right at you or away from you on one road? It's a pretty creepy ass shit, if you ask me. Now, interestingly enough, for a spirit that people were referring to as a hellhound and fondly naming Blackie, which kind of has its own racist tones there, but I'm not getting into that. They're calling them hellhounds because they're scary. They growl. They're howling. They're appearing as these spooky ass beasts with red eyes. Well, apparently 50 years ago, as one encounter I read, two youths were parked in their pickup truck at the boat landing, and they were killed by some type of beast. While their bodies were never recovered, the authorities said that they when they found the empty truck, it was splattered with blood, and it was mingled with hairs from some unknown kind of a creature, whether it was a wolf, a bear, a Sasquatch, or something else. They never said. But the fact that something got into the actual pickup makes you wonder, how big and scary was it that they couldn't get away in a pickup? Especially 50 years ago, when these goddamn trucks were made of like pure metal. Well, apparently they say it's if you park your car near the boat landing at the bottom of the hill below Kerryville Cemetery and shut off your headlights, the hellhounds will appear. Now, whether that's something you want to do or not, that falls up to you. All I'm saying is, you know, just be ready for whatever the hell is coming at you. You're gonna go looking for some trouble. Trouble might come and find you, whether you want it or not. And that leads us into the final haunting spot here in Kerryville in Wisconsin. And that's the Kerryville Cemetery. Now, they say this cemetery was specifically used as a burial place for the people who lived on the small island of Meridine. If this is the case, then this would also include the patients from the asylum, which would explain why many say they hear Blackie in the nearby and surrounding woods, and sometimes even see the hellhounds Blackie running around in the cemetery itself. Is it possible that even after death of the dog and the patients, that these dogs are still doing their job and are trying to keep the patients from running away? Makes you wonder if the spirits of these patients are tied there and can't move on to the other side or go somewhere else because these spirit dogs are keeping them at bay. It's an interesting thought, and it's something I actually probably would want to come up and discuss with a psychic. Even better if I could go there and discuss it there too, like see what kind of feel we get out of it though. Along with the hellhounds, people also heard children. There's reports of people hearing children, specifically children laughing and playing. That's what makes this fucked up too. And they're not necessarily always in the cemetery, but sometimes you'll hear them in the distance coming from the woods and the fields that surround the cemetery. Now that makes it creepy, especially if you're going there at night. Like I've said to people before, the sound of a child laughing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that fills your heart with joy. The sound of children laughing and playing at 3 a.m. in the goddamn morning, there's some devil shit going on. According to Lewis, ghost investigators I had mentioned previous, he says that people also say they see mysterious balls of light hovering throughout the cemetery. And some people even report hearing people calling their names. And there's always this strong feeling of you not being alone. Now, that's something that many people, well, at least the feeling is something that many people get when they go to most cemeteries, even churches. But somebody calling your name, now that makes it creepy, because especially if you go to a cemetery and everyone up in this bitch died in like 1920. So no one here knows you, let alone if you walk into a place and never said your damn name and somebody's calling you, especially if you have one of those like interesting names like I'm pretty sure back in the day, the name Jakisha or Shaquana was not a common name in that area. So I'm sure if a girl with that name shows up, or a guy, you never know in this modern day, somebody walks in there with that name and you hear a spirit from 19 something or like 18 something calling that name, you know it's you, it's calling. Because, I mean, if you go with a friend named John Smith and the spirit's going, "Hey, John," chances are motherfucker knew a John and probably thinks you're John. Or it's a hooker and she's trying to get, you know, "Hey, you need a date?" And then the other thing that was finds interesting, and I didn't find more information on it, even though they mentioned it, was the balls of light hovering around the cemetery. Now, that's when most people take pictures of haunted places, what they usually get, you know, when they say they get, oh, I got a spirit, it's these orbs. Now, what this sounds like they're describing is orbs, but ones that people are seeing with their eyes, because most of the time the orbs are things that people see in cameras afterwards, stuff that our eyes don't see, but cameras can pick up. That makes it interesting. Now, the other thing about this cemetery is, according to psychics who have investigated the spot, they say there's many roaming ghosts. Now, it makes me wonder how many of them are actually in the cemetery and how many are actually spilling out. I mean, from all these accounts, from all these other haunting places in this Kerryville, it seems the Blackie or the Hellhound or the Ghost Dog, whatever you want to call him, is the one thing that kind of seems to be able to move around town, where all the other ones kind of stay in one place. Now, while some of these places are easily accessible, I don't recommend you just going out on your own and trying to investigate, especially since some of these places might be behind fences or considered private property, and you don't want to be trespassing to get a better look or get some evidence. If you can get permission, get permission. If they say no, walk your ass away or get as much as you can without crossing the line. Because according to one of the articles, the town people are fed up with visitors and they will easily call the police on your ass if you seem suspicious. And another article even said that the police will not hesitate to write up a ticket or give you a hefty fine if they catch you. But now, I'm not telling you to go do it, but if you do it and you do find some evidence, feel free to share with us. We're always down to listen. Post a photo and hashtag us, is Ed Die Dead or Ed Die Podcast, on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Reach out to us. You can always email us at podcast@iseddiedead.com. We're always listening. If you guys are so inclined and are enjoying the podcast, feel free to keep us running and help us do what we're doing and even try to do more by visiting us on our Patreon and becoming a member. We've got it really simple now. So it's just patreon.com/isEdDieDead. And there's only two tiers right now. We're keeping it small and simple for everybody. And interestingly enough, like we said, that we're talking about maybe putting one or two short, quick episodes. I've actually come across some information, and I think I will be recording a small episode, putting it on Patreon for just the Patreon people. So if you want to hear about it, jump over there. And interesting enough, this is something that's going on in a family member's house. So I'm going to be able to get firsthand accounts about this. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Stick around for the next episode. If you ever guys have any questions, feel free to send them in. Ask us any questions online on any of our social media, or if you have any accounts you want to share with us, or if you actually have an account and want to be interviewed and discuss it, hit us up, let me know. And until then, stay creepy and stay scared. This is Ed Die, and keep it spooky.